You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, Episode 11. The Sherwin-Williams CHL-NHL Top Prospects game has come and gone, and now it's time to decide who came out on top. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to Episode 11 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show or email us at prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. I am with my co-host, Peter Harling, managing editor of Dauber Prospects. Peter, you attended the Top Prospects game on January 30th in Quebec City. Has your hand recuperated from all the notes you've been taking?
Yeah. It was. It's more recovering from all the driving that I had to do to get there. A lot of driving, but totally worth it. It was a great game, and I got to rub elbows with a lot of really neat media people up in, at a really nice rink, the Videotron Center. They'll be getting an NHL team soon.
Nice. Well, you drove in morning of, got there just before game time.
Yeah, basically, I had to do a little bit of day job in between, and I carpooled in with our CHL writer, Catherine John, and she navigated me beautifully into Quebec City, which is a labyrinth of highways on and off ramps and whatnot. And yeah, so we got to the game just in time to scarf some food and hobnob with a former guest of the show, Shane Malloy, and
nice.
Yeah, and settle in just in time for the puck drop.
Perfect. All right, so let's get to the game. Team Cherry wins the Top Prospects game 7-5, tying a record of 12 goals combined for both sides, equaling 96, 05, and 08 offensive totals. Henry Yokiharu, we talked about last week, earned Player of the Game for Team Cherry, and Nico Hischier received the honor for Team Orr. So let's get right into some of the guys on the winning squad. First, Team Cherry. Owen Tippett. I really was expecting a lot more shots out of this kid.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of players and a lot of skill in the game, and there's only one puck to go around, so I think that had a lot to do with it. But in the other viewings I've seen, his game is just all about getting pucks on net. He excels at it.
Yeah, he had a goal and an assist, so 2 points, and only two shots on goal, which I don't think really shows what kind of game he actually plays. He's going to get you a ton of shots if you take him in fantasy, that's for sure.
And a ton of goals too. He's got a quick, hard, deceptive shot. And the game I saw him at in Peterborough, what really impressed me about him was how he got a couple of shots off just out of nowhere. You know, loose pucks in the vicinity of him or passes that were tight in his feet. Doesn't matter where the puck is, he's able to get a shot off. And even if he's got the puck under control, he's kind of like Phil Kessel in that he can get a shot away when you don't expect it coming. There's little to no wind up in his shot, so you have to be ready at any moment when the puck is on his stick. You have to expect that he's about to shoot it, no matter what he's doing or how it looks.
And that's basically how he scored his goal. He kind of just came around and a quick little wraparound kind of sort of on the power play. And yeah, he put it far side on the goalie. It was a pretty decent goal. It wasn't a snipe by any means, but it was still a nice goal. And the guy that set him up was Nolan Patrick. So is he still number one after this game?
Yep. I think he is number one on a lot of the experts' rankings. Our fantasy consensus ranking had him at number one. It was interesting, though. After the game, I caught up with Jeff Merrick, and he told me that he knows of one NHL team for sure that has him ranked number two, and they have Hischier number one. It's not a team. It's in the West. It's not a team that's in a lottery position, so I don't know if it really matters, but it is certainly very interesting. But there's a lot of hockey to go for the rest of the season, and I think these two are going to have a real good battle to see who ends up number one.
Yeah, what does Patrick have to do to keep number one? Just keep playing solid game?
Yeah, he's been ranked number one all season based on the body of work through his career to this date, and he's catching up. But, I mean, what I like about Patrick is he's a jack of all trades and master of none. He's got everything. He's got Gus's four S's, was the skies, the skill, the smarts, the skating. He's got speed. He's got great vision. He's got all the tools. And I think he's pretty much ready for the NHL now. Having missed a good chunk of the start of this season is going to hurt, but keep in mind he missed last year's draft by just a couple of days. So he's kind of already gone through a draft plus 1 year, if you want to look at it that way. So for all you fantasy guys out there, if you pick Patrick, he might be able to make your roster next year.
Yeah, and he went 12 for 16 in the faceoff circle, which is also quite impressive. That he, I think he was one of the best in the game that had over 10 at least. Gabriel Vilardi, guy can set up unbelievably. What did you think of his game?
What I noticed him the most when he had the puck and he had it down low below the faceoff circles. He's got good size. He's got quick hands and quick feet. He may not be like an explosively fast skater, but he's got quickness. And there's a difference between being quick and being fast. And I noticed that he's quick. He makes really good sudden lateral lusts and lunges to create separation with the puck. He's strong on the puck. He protects it well with his body. All the while, he's got great vision, knowing where the pressure is coming from and where the outlet passes are and where his support is. So he's really good at making plays and controlling the puck, sustaining pressure down low.
Yeah, he's ranked number 6 on our fantasy ranking article that we posted last week. I think I'd move him up a little bit higher. I'm a big fan of Vilardi. I like his game. I really hope he has winger eligibility when he does make it to the NHL. I think he could move over to the wing. But seeing that he's going to be playing Memorial Cup this year because the Windsor Spitfires are hosting, that might bring up his stock in the NHL draft, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's a natural center, and he's shifted to the wing so that they can play him on a line with Logan Brown. But he played center in the prospects game, and he went 5 for 15 on the faceoffs, so maybe he's better on the wing.
Yeah. a kid that scored, I'm pretty sure it was the first goal, Isaac Ratcliffe. What did you think of his game?
Hugely impressed with his performance in this game. I'm a really big fan of this kid. He is he's huge for starters, and scouts love big players. I think he's got like a plus plus net presence. His ability to cruise in front of the net right as the shot is delivered creates havoc and makes it difficult for the goalie to track. He's big. He's hard to move if he decides to set up camp there. And he's got great hand-eye coordination for the greasy goals, tipping in and rebounds and stuff. And away from the net, I was impressed with him too defensively. He's got a long reach with his stick, and he uses his size well. He created a lot of turnovers and had some impressive takeaways too. So that's great. He's got a two-way game. What do you think?
I thought he played a real good game. I think he's going to be a great power forward in the NHL. And I think the new hybrid power forward that they had, they're sneaky snipers. Like the power forwards now have to score. They're not just guys that stand in front of the net like Thomas Holmstrom. He didn't really score many goals away from the net, but I think Isaac Ratcliffe can score away from the net. But 6'5", 194 pounds, if he puts on like another 15, 20 pounds in the off season or next year, I don't think he's going to be playing in the NHL next year, but if he puts on like 15, 20 pounds before he gets to the NHL, he's going to be scary power forward.
Agreed. And he can move pretty well too. So that's important.
Yeah. Anybody else that kind of stood out to you that you want to mention, or are you good?
For Team Cherry, one player I kept looking for, and I had a hard time noticing him for the most part. He had a few scoring chances, but didn't cash, is Nick Suzuki. He was a minus 2 on the night. They provided the media with media guides at the game, and they have some bios and whatnot on the players. One thing I thought was interesting, that he wears number 37 after Patrice Bergeron, who he models his game after. And there's a lot of talk about Suzuki and his size, and Bergeron's only 6'1", 195, and Suzuki's 5'11", 188, so he's only 2 inches shorter and 7 pounds lighter, and he's 18, so he could end up being the same physical dimensions, and I think he has a lot of similarities in his game. I think he plays a little bit more aggressively than Bergeron does, but generally, I like Suzuki a lot overall, but I was... left a little bit wanting after this game. But I think a top prospects game does a lot more of increasing players' draft stock and doesn't really do much to decrease them if they have a bad game. But if I had to pick one guy from Cherry that had a bad game or disappointing game, it would be Suzuki.
Yeah, he was ranked number 16 in our fantasy rankings. Are you lower on him or are you higher on him at number 16?
I probably pretty close to that. If anything, I'd want to move him higher, but I'd have to look at the list. I don't have it memorized or in front of me. And if he goes up, someone's got to go down, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So who goes down?
All right. When we come back, maybe one of Team Orr will be going down. We will see after the break. All right, time for the losing side. Team Orr, I really thought they were going to come out and play a little bit better. I thought they were going to beat Team Cherry when I first looked at the rosters, but Team Cherry found their scoring drive. I think Team Orr can basically say thank you to Heischer for keeping them in the game. One goal, two assists, 3 points. He went 8-for-16 in the faceoff dot, which isn't very good. And he went up against Nolan Patrick pretty much the whole night. They bumped and jived with each other pretty much the whole night, and they had a couple good laughs after face-off whistles, which was kind of nice to see. What do you think of Heischer?
I thought he continued to impress. He picked up right where he left off at the World Juniors, like you said, almost single-handedly eliminating a powerhouse opponent. He scored a dandy on that little breakaway that he had, really nice finish. He looked really confident and comfortable being in the big stakes game with all the scouts and all the NHL and all the media in attendance and watching and analyzing every little move that he made. Didn't seem to bother him at all, which I think bodes really well for his ability to play at the NHL level.
Well, and the fact that he went from like mid first round to basically a top two guy over a half a season, which is kind of ridiculous. And he just kind of seems like, yeah, I'm going to keep playing hard and I want to be number one. And I think it'd be cool if I was the first Swiss pick number one. It's crazy that his idol growing up was Nino Niederreiter. Is that not crazy? I feel like Niederreiter just got drafted, but I guess he's been drafted 7 years now. So that's kind of crazy that he sure looks up to Niederreiter.
Yeah, we're not getting older. They're just catching up.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Michael Rasmussen, what do you think of his game?
It was really impressive. I don't get to see a lot of him because he plays in the West. So I was looking for him, and he was easy to find. He's a big guy, and he had a great game. I thought he showed some really nice hand-eye coordination on the bunt goal that he scored. Tapped it in out of the air. And I thought that he used his strength and his skating and his size to create a lot of turnovers as well. Thought he had a good game. Created a lot of takeaways. Good in the offensive zone. Fun to watch.
Yeah, we have him 10th in our fantasy ranking compilation that put together. Once again, we put it out last week. You can go find it on DauberProspects.com. 6'5", 203 pounds. That's just a big, big 18-year-old. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And he can skate well. And he like Radcliffe, he's got a nose for the net. I think his season assist totals are even higher than his goal totals, so he's got playmaking aspirations as well. Seems like a really reliable fantasy pick, and if you're in a league that has the bangers and mash stats as well, like hits and blocks and whatnot and penalty minutes, he'll contribute to those for you as well.
Yeah, and in the faceoff circle, I guess when Glass got kicked out, he was playing left wing Rasmussen. Went 4-for-4 in the faceoff circle, which is kind of impressive. 100% faceoff record, that's pretty good.
Indeed.
And speaking of Cody Glass, what'd you think of his game? One assist for 4 shots on goal, 6-for-13 in the faceoff circle. What was his game like?
He's a player that was pointed out to me as a player to watch at the start of the game by Shane Malloy. So of course I kept my eye on him, and he presents his stick well. A lot of players kind of forget to do that. They don't put their stick out for a pass or a shot a lot of the times, and he always had his stick in a really smart position in front of the net, always ready for a pass. He was always able to find good scoring positions. He played Pretty strong physical game. His pass to Rasmussen for his goal reminded me of that Austin Matthews pass a few weeks ago from behind the net, the behind the back from behind the net, in front tap in for Komarov. It was a very similar play. I really liked it. Unfortunately, Rasmussen didn't do the Komarov selly and pat the other player on the shoulder, which resulting in a punch to the face. But it didn't diminish from the play at all. What did you think?
I thought he played a pretty good game. I think he needs to put on some weight to fill out a little bit. I think he's only listed at 170 pounds, 6'2", so he definitely needs to put on probably 20 or 30 pounds, which these kids basically do by the time they get drafted, to getting some NHL background fitness. So he definitely is going to put on size, and that's going to help his game. I did enjoy watching him play. He didn't stand out as much as I thought he was going to, but I think I would put him higher than Ratcliffe. I think Ratcliffe and him are 15-16 on our list. No, Suzuki, sorry, 15-16, Cody Glass, then Suzuki 16. I definitely, yeah, would keep him above Suzuki. Suzuki's stock dropped a little bit for me, and I moved Glass probably up two or three spots on just that given night. So, yeah, I was happy with Cody Glass's game. How about Sasha Chmielewski? What did you think of this kid?
All right, so he's an interesting player. He's got some consistency problems. He had a great game for the Top Prospects American game at the start of the season. He was a little invisible at the U18s. He's good at the start of the season in Ottawa with his 67s. He's been kind of invisible again lately. I had no idea what I was going to see in this game, and he impressed me. He showed some jump. He showed a lot of skill. He showed some compete. Those are all important things that I was looking for in his game. He scored a goal, which, of course, is fantastic. And it was a really great goal too. He took the pass at the side of the net, and he did an amazing job of creating time and space and separation from the defenseman that was checking him. And if you watch a lot of Gretzky's goals, what he used to do is skate in down the wing a little bit with speed, and then kind of tap the brakes and make a lateral movement, and then voila, there's a shooting lane that he's created from making separation with the defenseman. And Chmielewski's goal reminded me a lot of that. Now, I'm not comparing him to Gretzky, but that was an impressive goal. And not only that, but his shot was pretty lethal too. It was just a laser to the top corner that the goalie just kind of waved at. It was a really nice goal. What did you think?
I thought his goal showed a lot of patience. I think he waited it out quite a bit. And the defensemen in this game are nothing to sneeze at. Like, they're the best defensemen in the draft class of CHL. So it's not like he's going up against fifth or sixth line guys. So these are their top guys on their team. So he definitely made it look easy when he scored his goal. Faceoff circle 3 for 11. That I'm not too impressed by that. Maybe because he was on fourth line with Matthew Strome, which we will probably get to later on in the episode, but maybe that had a little bit to do with how his game went. But yeah, I was okay with his game. He was an honorable mention in our fantasy ranking, so not top 31. So he probably going to be a second round guy in your fantasy drafts this coming June or July when you end up drafting. Emily Rassinen, I didn't really notice him out on the ice. What'd you think of him?
I see a lot of him and Paquette, because they both play for the Frontenacs and I live in Kingston, so they're in my neighborhood. I did notice him a lot, actually. Not for his offensive plays, but first of all, he's hard to miss because he's a big guy. He's 6'6", 208 pounds, and he skates well. He's come a long way this season. He carries the puck with a lot more confidence. There's a few times during the game I saw him trying to do that as well, but he doesn't force the play. If it's not there, he'll make a quick pass or even just dump it if he has to. His bread and butter is going to be defensively in the NHL. So for fantasy terms, I think you could probably do a little bit better. I mean, he's got a hard, heavy shot, but it's just a musket. It takes him a while to load it up. It doesn't have a quick release on it, but if he's got the time and the space, he can unleash a bomb from the point, and that's his greatest offensive asset.
Is it kind of like in the same regards as Logan Stanley, or is he going to be a better fantasy guy than Stanley?
I think he'll be a better fantasy player than Stanley from a points only point of view.
Yeah.
I think Logan Stanley will get a lot more hits than Rasinen. Rasinen's a tall player and he's listed at 208. But I haven't seen him throw that weight around or be a physical, intimidating player defensively. That's not really his game. He's pretty passive. So if he could develop a mean streak, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and if he does go a little high in the NHL draft, I'm not sure where he's ranked in terms of draft stock, but I think definitely bring him down on your list from where he gets drafted, because he's not going to be the top fantasy defenseman that teams are drafting, not for fantasy wise, right? So I would definitely move him down your list. A kid that he played with, Jacob Paquette, I really enjoyed his game. I thought he stood out on the ice. Everywhere, 2 assists, 2 points, and 2 shots on goal. I think Jacob Paquette's game was really good at the top prospects game.
Me too. He's the player that was ranked before the season started as a potential first round candidate. And he was injured to start the season and came in really cold and has kind of been slow to get caught up. And last year in his rookie season as a 16-year-old, he played top 4 minutes with Kingston on a loaded team that was going for it all. And he didn't look out of place. He looked like he was just following the coach's directions, trying not to get scored on, but you could see that there was so much more in his game. And I'm really excited for what he was going to do this year. And so far, I've been pretty disappointed because last year his progression curve was a steady and steep incline. This year, it's been pretty flat. And when players don't continue to progress, it's a real red flag for scouts. And as a result, his draft stock has been dropping pretty consistently this year, I think. So a good top prospects game will be huge for him. It'll help him out with his confidence. He had 2 points in the game, 2 assists. So hopefully he can start turning that trend back in the up direction for the rest of the season. I think he does have fantasy upside too. He's a really smart player and he's a great skater. So those two attributes are very important for an NHL successful career. I think Paquette should be a surefire NHL player.
Yeah, we'll have to check in with you later on in the season when you get a couple more games after this prospect game that and see if his game does turn around, because I know you do watch him quite a bit. All right, we're gonna move on to goalies, Peter. Are you ready? You got to take a goalie question. You have to. I'm making you take a goalie question. What do you think of Michael DiPietro?
I thought he was great. He made a huge blocker save, point blank. He got scored on a couple of times, of course. And he got 2 goals against, and he played 27 minutes and 16 saves. Sorry, 14 saves on 16 shots. He made some huge monster saves. I think he's a money goalie. I really like this kid. I think he's got it. I've said before on the show, I think what's important for a goalie is between the ears, how's their confidence, what's their ability like to shake off a bad goal? Do they ever give up on a play? And I saw all good things from DiPietro in this game and the other games that I've seen him play in regards to those attributes. So I'm not sure if he's going to go in the first round. I think you'd have to be pretty bold to take a goalie in the first round anymore these days, or at least anywhere that's not near the bottom of the first round. But he could easily be one of the top goalies picked.
Yeah, like I said the last episode, if I'm one of the last picks in the first round, if I win a league and I get the last pick, I might take a chance on the lottery and go Michael DiPietro, just because goalies sometimes are hot commodities, and if you hit on Michael DiPietro, it's worth a late first round pick. I know you don't feel the same way. You kind of wait till maybe the third or fourth, or don't even draft goalies. But yeah, I'm a pretty big fan of Michael DiPietro. You could just see how upset he was when Gabe Vilardi scored on him, his teammate. It was one guy he didn't want to get scored on from him, and just happened. It was happened to be his teammate. So yeah, I really enjoyed DiPietro's game. Like you said, 14 saves on 16 shots with this high scoring offensive game. He definitely kept team or in the game till the very end. He was second half of the game, so. 7-5. He only let in two. That's a pretty good showing. Anybody that you want to mention that we haven't mentioned yet?
Well, one player I was going to look for during the game, and I kept my eye out for him, and he never really stood out. Every player pretty much did something that I saw, except for Matthew Strome. I was really disappointed with him. He had no points. He was kind of invisible for most of the game. I thought I'd see more from him than I did. He played on the line with Shumlevsky and Schnarr, and I think that line was, I guess you'd call it, the fourth line for Team Or, and they went head to head against the fourth line for Cherry, which was the line of Radcliffe, Entwistle, and Lodnia, and the Cherry line dominated that matchup. They were really impressive.
Yeah, I wasn't very happy with Strome either. He's ranked 24th in our fantasy rankings. Do you still think he's a first round guy after this, or are you not going to put that much stock in just one game?
No, like I said before, I think the prospect game can raise your value, but I don't think it'll make it drop very much, if at all. He's got another half of the season in Hamilton, I believe, is playoff bound. So we'll see what he can do the rest of the way. He's got some work to do. He'll get drafted for sure. It's just a question of how high.
Yeah, and in your fantasy drafts, just on name alone, you might have to reach for him. If you are targeting him, you might have to reach a couple spots up just because of the name alone. People will see Strome and be like, oh, Dylan Strome? Nope, Matt Strome, younger brother. So he'll definitely have eyes on him in your drafts, so watch out for that as well. All right, that's our thoughts on Top Prospects game. When we come back from the break, Peter catches up with Sportsnet's junior analyst and color commentator, Sam Cosentino, who gives us his thoughts on the top prospects he watched in Quebec City on January 30th. Stay tuned for that coming up next.
Welcome back to Dobber Prospects Radio. We are fortunate enough to have joining us in this episode to talk top prospects from the top prospects game in the CHL, none other than the Sportsnet analyst and color commentator, Sam Cosentino. Sam, thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, nice to be on, guy, talking about prospects. You gotta love it.
Yeah, indeed. All right, so it was a good game under bad circumstances, but let's focus on the players. First, where we have to start is right at the top, the head-to-head battle between Hischier and Patrick for first overall. Hischier had himself a nice game, 3 points, nice finish on a breakaway goal. What are your thoughts on these two players? Which one do you think is likely to go first? And if it were a fantasy draft, do you think that would change?
Yeah, I don't think it changes much for a fantasy draft, to be perfectly honest with you. But when you look at these two guys, I think Hischier's got a little bit more of a dynamic element to his game than maybe where Patrick is. But Patrick's probably a little further advanced in terms of his all-around game, and that's simply because being a late birthday, he's had more time to hone his craft in the Western Hockey League. But I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them at number one. What was a cinch for a good 2.5 years is Patrick being that guy. I don't think the conversation is quite that simple anymore. When you look at the Hischier's body of work in the, you know, in the Quebec League and at the World Juniors, in particular in that game where I thought he won the battle between the two. So, you know, that conversation is going to go right down to the 23rd of June. And it's going to be really interesting. And I guess the only thing that would probably tip it in the favor of Nolan Patrick would be is if Las Vegas were able to get that number one spot. And I'm not even so sure at this point if they are. So that's probably what would tip the scales based on Kelly McCrimmon being an assistant GM, you know, with the Las Vegas Golden Knights team.
That's a good point. Do you think both of them will play in the NHL next year or either or neither?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I know Halifax thinks that there's a pretty good chance that he might play next year in terms of Nico's possibilities moving forward. As far as Nolan Patrick goes, would he be ready? Yes, he'd be one of those guys that's probably going to fall into that range and reignite the conversation about having an exception where a player can go to the American Hockey League. He's probably going to fall right in that range. Now, having said that, like some of the other draft eligibles you know, Brett Connolly and Galchenyuk and Morgan Riley, for example, who've missed significant time during the course of their draft years. You know, does because he missed so much time this year, you know, make him eligible, more eligible to come back next year? And that would be probably the one question. The other thing is who has that pick? Where are they in terms of their salary cap situation? Well, where are they in terms of their number of player contracts, so on and so forth? So, you know, what used to be kind of a one-way discussion is he good enough to play next year? Also now has a lot of different elements involved to, you know, for a team to make that determination. So it's not just as simple as if he's good enough or not. It comes down to, you know, a bunch of other factors that, you know, an NHL team will have to make that determination on.
Yeah, it's been a long time since a first overall player didn't go straight to the NHL. I'm almost kind of rooting for that. I think it would be good for player development overall to have a reset on that perception. Another player that I want to talk about, he had a great game. He was the player of the game for Team Cherry. We talked about him on our previous episode on our fantasy rankings topics. That's Henry Yokiharu. He was, as I said, player of the game for Cherry with 3 assists, 2 of them being primary. What are your thoughts on him? And is he perhaps a better fantasy option than an NHL reality player?
Yeah, you see, you kind of caught me on the fantasy stuff. Like, I'm not a huge fantasy guy, and you know, the keeper leagues, and you know, whether you get them and you hothouse them, I'm not a big fantasy guy. So it's tough for me to really give any sort of expert opinion in that regard. But in terms of just looking at the player in and of himself, you know, I had some pretty good conversations with some people in Portland. They really like what he brings to the table. They feel that he has an under the radar type quality to his game. And some of the people in Portland were comparing him favorably to Derek Pouliot, who was a first round pick to Pittsburgh a couple of years back, where he edges well. He has some escapability because of his skating ability, pretty smart with his stick, and is a better defender than at first look. And obviously with some of the things he was able to do, you know, with the 3 assists, you know, in kind of different varying varieties, not exactly the way you might draw them up, yet still being able to produce at that level. So he's probably a guy that if you watch him over the course of the season, you have a better appreciation for him and you have him ranked a little higher than if you just see him in spot duty. So, you know, he's definitely a guy that for sure I'll be keeping an eye on here in the second half. You know, just to kind of see how he progresses and trying to keep in contact with my people in Portland as well.
Yeah, he's certainly got my attention and he's on my radar, and I'll try to see him as much as I can. Another player, Nikita Papagayev, he made a lot of really nice passes in the game. I was impressed with his playmaking skill. He only ended up with the 1 assist. He's got good size and a two-way player. What are your thoughts on him? Do you think he's a first-round option?
I think he's a first-round option. There is some interest to me, you know, being traded as a potential first-round pick. You know, was Moose Jaw afraid that, you know, he was going to go to the NHL next year because he has that kind of ceiling to his game? So, you know, I think there's someone else thinking that. And if they're thinking that, then they're probably doing it with some sort of education behind them and in talking to scouts and various teams. But he's a player that in order to be at his best, he has to find more consistency in his game. He has to be engaged. And whether it's physically, you know, or making passes or scoring goals, which is something that's dropped off since he's gone to Prince George. He has to be engaged, shift in and shift out. And like most other players, he battles that, you know, that consistency in his game. But maybe for him, probably more so than others, the worry about consistency might have something to do with effort as opposed to just being young and immature. So that's where I think some of the concerns are raised about him. Having said that, I watched, you know, obviously watching that game, he was engaged from the opening puck drop right to the end, and he showed you what kind of impact he can have when he's engaged each and every shift. I thought he was great in the game. I thought he threw his body around. He was good in the forecheck. You know, the backhand sauce pass is a highly skilled play that he makes in the Velarde goal. You know, there's a lot of good things to like about him. So if I'm looking at the big picture, one small concern I'd have is, you know, going to Prince George's goal production has gone down significantly from where it was at Moose Jaw. Part of that, I'm sure, has to do with the older depth, you know, that Prince George has. And, you know, he's playing with Jesse Gabriel pretty regularly now, and Gabriel likes to shoot the puck, so there's probably not as many shot options as there was available to him in Moose Jaw. But overall, if this is a guy who you can get to engage on a shift-to-shift basis, you're going to get one heck of a player.
Yeah, I thought he had a great game, too. I found myself taking a lot of notes on him. Another, speaking of consistency, another player that's had some consistency issues is Ottawa's Sasha Chmelevski. He had a great U.S. prospects game, a little weak in the U18, but I thought he had a good game on Monday in Quebec. What's your thoughts on him? What's the real Chmelevski? Is he engaged or not?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's no question he's got high skill. There's no question he's a guy who looks like he wants to be a pro. He's got a pro body. You know, you can't help. You can't ignore point production during a draft year, regardless of what team a player's on. If he's on a poor team, you'd expect him to have high point totals because he's probably going to get the high leverage minutes and the power play situations required for a player to have high point totals. So there's some concerns about that for sure. But I don't think there's any doubting his skill, his ability to move in tight, make short, quick plays, really good, drives the net okay. There is a lot to like about his game. You know, where do you see his ceiling? For me, he's probably a first round guy, but probably in the latter stages.
All right. Let's try and squeeze in one or two more players here. Real quick thoughts. Kyle Yamamoto. I was impressed with his skill. And of course the concern on him is his size. I saw him after the game in the press conferences and, you know, there's the same thing could be said about Suzuki, just because if you look at his stats, he's 5'11", but I think he's just a short player. I think he's got strength. Yamamoto looked really small to me. Is that a strong concern you have with him, with his size?
Well, he looks small, and he looks like he's kind of done in terms of his growing. I'm no, you know, growth doctor or whatever, but you look at Suzuki and you see some maybe immaturity in his face or whatever that makes you think that he is going to grow a bit more. And that can be said by a lot of players. I mean, I look at Nate Schnarr. There's probably a lot of growing to be done there. Isaac, but probably a lot of growing to be done there. But some guys, Popovic would be one of them. You look at him and you see he's probably pretty close to where he's going to end up playing in the NHL. Maybe add a few pounds, but not a huge departure from where he is now. When it comes to Yamamoto, I kind of see that same sort of thing. But he's got Johnny Gaudreau-like qualities to his game. Maybe not quite as dynamic and quite as skilled, but I can see some of that in his game. He looks like he has a lot of fun playing the game. You know, he's very driven, especially by his size and his skill set. The one thing that I liked about his game in watching him, and I'll get another look at him here in a little bit, but his ability to control the pace of the game. You know, go from high speed to low speed, go from a guy who's going to take it right to the net or kind of sit around and wait for the trailer to come. So I like his ability to control the pace of the game for sure.
All right, let's do a 3-for-1. The fourth line listed for Team Cherry on the roster of Ratcliffe, Entwistle, and Laudnia. I was really impressed with them. I thought they had a great game. They all have size and skill. Would you say that those players are all underrated heading into the draft? And do you think any of them could move themselves up into like a firm first round consideration for the draft?
Well, I look at Laudnia on the team he plays on. He's not always getting the most looks. He's on. He's the youngest guy on a veteran team that's probably going to go deep, which should help him. But he also looks to me like a guy who's put a lot of pressure on himself here in his draft year. But I love his skill set. His skating's a little awkward. I don't know that it's bad. It is a little bit awkward. Entwistle's a guy who looks like he's got future leadership potential in him, probably within his own team as early as next year. Low maintenance guy, fun loving kid, really enjoys the game and being around the game, and a much better player in my second viewing of him than he was in his first. So there's a lot to like about that guy. I mean, he's third round pick in the OHL draft, and he's got an opportunity, I think, to be one of those sleeper type guys. So I really like what he brings to the table. And Ratcliffe, I mean, if NHL scouts like nothing else, they like size, and he's loaded with it. He's probably going to play at 225 pounds and give you a little bit of that grit, almost like a Ryan Kessler type of player. So I think he does have that element to his game based on his size and his hands. I'm pretty sure he's a cinch for the first round. As for Laudnia, he's probably going to be on the edges. And as for Entwistle, he's probably a late first to late second type of guy. And I think the rest of the season is going to have a pretty big say on how that goes.
Nice. Last one for you, Sam. Is last year that Braden Hunt signed as an overage free agent with Florida Panthers. Is there any player in the CHL right now that you think is an overager as a free agent that fantasy hockey players would want to put on their watch list as someone they might want to try and add to their team if he gets an NHL deal?
Ooh, you know what? Really good question. And to think of the OAs off the top of my head, probably a little bit challenging right now. I suppose if I had a list in front of me, I'd be able to answer that question a little bit easier for you, but not having that list and not being able to recall that amount of guys in a short period of time, I can't help you much there.
Fair enough. It's an interesting question though. We'll do some research on it and we'll see if we can come up with some answers for our next episode. Sam, thanks very much for joining us. For our listeners that want to know where they can find you, unfortunately you're not on Twitter. We'll run a campaign to get you on, but they can catch you live on TV doing Sportsnet Junior, the analyst and color commentary, and you also contribute articles to Sportsnet, and we'll do a link to your author page there in our show notes. Thanks a lot, Sam, and when's the next game?
All right, yeah, we're heading in. We got a game in Vancouver coming up Friday night to Calgary Hitmen in Vancouver in Langley now, as opposed to being at the Pacific Coliseum. So looking forward to seeing how the new rink, the Langley Event Center, sets up for major junior hockey.
Like the late Billy Red Lions used to say, don't you dare miss it. Thanks, Sam. Take care. Eh?
All right. Thanks a lot.
We really want to thank Sam Cosentino for joining us this week, a huge guest on our show. You can find Sam's Sportsnet author page on our show notes at dauberprospects.com/DPR11. Unfortunately, Sam doesn't have Twitter, but you can hear him broadcasting CHL games on Sportsnet on most Friday and Sunday afternoons. We also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well and giving us a review. If you haven't done a review, please take a few seconds to rate and review us. You wouldn't believe how much of a few great reviews will do for our listenership. We want to do a mailbag segment in a couple of episodes, so once again, I'm asking for a few more minutes to send out your fantasy questions, either by email, prospectradio@dauberprospects.com, that's prospectradio@dauberprospects.com, or you can tweet us your question. Our Twitter account is @DPR_show. Please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter. We post other podcasts that may be helpful, some ideas for better scouting, some other scouts we enjoy following, basically anything to do with scouting and prospects. You can also follow our personal accounts @Zwambag, Zwambag, and @PHarling, Pharling. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.